mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 435. I'm Adam, and Ryan Sinclair picks up a dead bird in Peru. And here's Mary Lang.
Why is it always the big lads that need rescuing?
Debbie Melrose.
So with the understanding that that was pretty alarming, don't be overly alarmed.
And keeping an eye out for squirrels, or squirrels as we call them in Great Britain, Kirby Violet Sloan.
I think we're on an alien planet.
You sound like you're on an alien planet.
Louder and louder.
I didn't get that one. You'll have to do that one again.
I think we're on an alien planet.
Yes. Right. What came next?
I don't remember. I don't have a script in front of me. I have a highway in front of me.
And a squirrel. A dead one. Funny enough.
And a very irritated daughter sitting next to him.
Yes, right. So no swearing, everybody, because Fred's in the car. Oh, it went very quiet. Right then, let's move on.
We don't know what else to say.
He took our words away.
Right then, yes, we're going to be looking at... Hello, everybody. Oh, by the way, there has been a bit of a windy sort of scenario here in Great Britain, specifically here on the Isle of Wight. Don't worry about it. It's just wind at the end of the day. But wind and rain, stopping the ferries... And also what's happened is Debbie Melrose lost her internet, so I tried phoning her up via Skype to her phone, and she ignored the call. I thought that was a bit rude.
It didn't go off. Suddenly I had a message. It's like, what?
A message. So that was a waste of what... I mean, the others know what I was trying to do and what I had to pay to try and do that call, don't you, everybody?
Well, no, I thought you were calling her from your phone to her phone.
I was calling her via Skype, and I had to buy Skype credit to do that. Cost me money, that did, for nothing.
Just to call Debbie a few streets away, you have to buy Skype.
Anyway, right, so yes, Praxeus. So, I'm going to try to find my play window. Oh, there it is, right there. So, Praxeus begins with a sort of fancy title sequence relating to the Doctor Who's thing. And then we have that lovely shot of the Earth. That looks like the opening bit to one of my videos. And within that, there's a chap in a sort of space suit, panicking a little bit, because it looks like he's going to crash. And he's sort of... and then the little capsule he's in is sort of starts hitting the atmosphere and glowing, because it's starting to burn up. And then we cut to a scene of somebody tripping over or falling over a stack of water bottles in a supermarket, because he's being chased by this chap with a leather jacket, and he gets wrestled to the floor and essentially arrested. And the woman in the shop, the soft shop assistant, doesn't look particularly impressed with this chap's
tactics.
So it looks like he probably got fired from that particular job. Meanwhile, in Peru, Bill Potts and her friend... Oh, sorry, it's not Bill, is it? It's just somebody who deliberately looks like her.
Someone looks like her.
Are just roving around some orchards. Well, they look like orchards, so they're probably not. And, she's doing a vlog, isn't she? They're doing a vlog
their
journeys.
Yes, she's going to take her to a river that's absolutely wonderful. You've got to see it, yeah.
Girls travelling.
What?
They cleaned that up when they were done filming.
What?
He went,
I hope they cleaned that up when they were done filming.
No. What's the point of that? You are.
What are they going to do, leave it?
Anyway, they hear some birds squawking and find themselves in the middle of a pile of plastic. And then the birds start circling above. And they go and have a lie down in their tent. Obviously, some time later... And some more bird sounds awaken one of the young ladies. And the Black Guardian... Oh, sorry, no. The crow, at least I think it was a crow, is watching. And some more birds squawking.
Maybe it was the Black Guardian. We'll find out later.
You never know, do you? Anyway, so basically, she gets taken. Obviously taken. So the chap with the leather jacket... goes to sort of drown his sorrows with his last wage packet in the local bar, and watches on the news. Of course, the only news service available in any bar in Great Britain is the BBC News. So therefore, watches a space agency video of a crash, and then when he sees who's actually face comes up on the screen, he does look a little bit concerned because it's a cross between me and Mary. Isn't it, Mary?
Yeah, well, I can't argue with it.
Whoever has written this story has listened to this show.
Possibly.
Yeah. So he's... and also, just at that same time, he gets a text saying, help me, and stuff like that, find me, or whatever.
Find me.
Find me, Hong Kong. Oh,
it says help me and find me, thank you, Kirby. Where's that point deduction sound gone? Anyway, so meanwhile, Bill Potts, I mean, the woman who looks a bit like Bill Potts. What?
I don't have the video in front of me. I have a high web.
Well, keep saying that.
Have we not already established that fact? Did you want a slap on the back or something? I can't really get there at that point. But if you want to give yourself, don't give yourself a slap on the back, or get Fred to give you a slap on the back, and then you can get the congratulations that you need for that particular. I mean, how many times have I been driving and doing the show, everybody? Did I slap myself on the back during any of those instances?
Well, no. How many years has it been since you did the podcast from your car?
Well, I drove from Portsmouth to Brighton while doing the show once in the dark.
I was holding the fort at your house, and you decided to try and Skype in the car, and that was quite funny.
Yeah, but I went down the seafront and lost signal. But we did do a few while I was taking Deb from A to B and tried to keep the thing going. That was always quite good fun.
Oh yeah, that was always funny.
I used to go from the car park.
That doesn't work when Kirby talks over everybody on this particular instance, does it? It's quite funny. Right, we've got Chris Mockridge says hi. We've got Alan T. Butcher says hi. How was Praxeus? We're talking about it now, Alan, for goodness sake.
He probably wants to say, get on with it.
Get on with it.
Right, we found out the name of the girl that got taken by the birds is called Jamila. And Bill Potts is... she's wearing a Brazil shirt in Peru. That's enough to get yourself... arrested. There's a few dead birds.
Yes, I did notice that. I was a bit concerned when I saw that.
There's a dead bird on the ground. It's got strange things on its wings. And then Ryan turns up out of the blue.
Meanwhile, him and says, oh, you work out.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Peru...
The doctor has become very, very good at pinpointing people precisely where they need to be in the TARDIS nowadays.
Yeah, but they've got phones, haven't they, and stuff that are connected to the TARDIS, so I suppose that makes things a bit easier. Chap with leather jacket turns up in Hong Kong. This reminded me of the last series of Torchwood, actually, this particular scene.
Yes.
And
how long did it take him to get to Hong Kong?
I don't know. I didn't ask him. Did it matter? He just went there.
Yeah.
Why?
It's almost like he had a TARDIS.
He flew.
He could well have flown.
That's not
2 seconds of the
airplane. The thing is, though, but he's gone to Hong Kong. This was obviously filmed before that. The recent troubles have been in Hong Kong, haven't they, with the students and stuff. Protesters and things.
That student stuff has been going on longer.
Oh, is it?
I think. They would have been. I think it would have been going on while they were filming this.
Okay,
but
fair enough.
It must have found a quiet spot.
But it wasn't actually filmed in Hong Kong, I don't think.
Well, no. This was not filmed in Hong Kong. This was filmed in Cardiff.
Yeah.
But anyway.
More like it, yes.
He that's right, because Graham and Yaz turn up, and he gets
with
a bit defensive.
Keys.
What?
They have skeleton keys.
Yeah, that used to belong to Joe Grant, yes. And they round up. I can't remember his name though. What was the name of the chap with the leather jacket?
Josh or something like that.
I remember the other chap.
Is it Jake?
Jake.
Oh, is it Jake? I can easily remember the other chap's name because it's me and Mary. I think that. Anyway, and then we're in Madagascar, where a very pretty Asian lady is flirting with a bloke that looks a little bit like nobody. And then there's somebody, oh yeah, there's a body floating in the sea, and the doctor, who happens to be there as well, drags out the person, and with the help of
yes, them. Why is it always the big lads that need
rest? Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
And on his hand is some strange plasticky, well, I suppose, I don't know, incrustation on his hand.
He got it from Tim Shaw.
Yeah, that's what we thought. Yeah, it's funny, we were watching, we thought they were teeth, you know. We did think
that. Yeah, I thought that too.
But then I thought, hang on, that would be, it's only Tim Shaw himself who actually takes the teeth. It's not like any sort of
The attractive young lady is called Suki.
Suki, and what about Bill Potts, you mean?
Aramu.
Suki, what, the pretty Asian woman?
Yes, her buddy is called Aramu.
Anyway, there's a point.
Is she Suki Stackhouse and it has vampires?
You're trying to crack a joke. We can hardly hear what you're saying, so just carry on.
He's talking about Suki Stackhouse from True Blood.
Whatever. Anyway, so...
the only similarity in this being slightly the name.
Okay, whatever. For some reason, Bill Potts decides that she's going to search Ryan's bag and then frisk him. I think she looked like she was quite enjoying the frisking part. Ryan was sort of quite amused.
I've run a lot. I love that. I've run a lot. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And, so that's the end of that little scene. The next scene is, what's his name again? The leather jacket bloke?
Jake,
right. And Graham and Yaz are sort of poking around some warehouse and being watched while doing it. Then this chap, Olsen. Oh, jeez, I nearly went to 10 minutes. Not too bad for you, Kirby, to be fair. Yes, go on.
I half expected that guy to go, are you my mummy?
Yeah, well, we did say that, actually, yes. Watching this, indeed, we did. But anyway, Olsen, who's the chap that's washed up on the beach, does look a bit unwell. He sort of wakes up and grabs the doctor's hand and then basically gets covered in this strange incrustation and explodes.
He looks like it goes into sawdust.
It does, yes.
Not like that.
Do you know what that reminded me of? If you've watched, I don't know, it's episode 2 or 3 of Torchwood, when they're having sex in the nightclub and the bloke explodes, literally.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
And that one was probably written by Chips.
Probably was, funny enough, yeah. It's a good effect. Anyway, so he's exploded and disappeared into dust. And meanwhile, hang on, who's that? The one that looks like Bill Potts? What's her name? There's too many characters to remember the names of. That's the trouble.
Is it too many Suki? Characters.
No, yeah. Suki's the pretty Suki's the, Asian woman.
The Asian lady. Oh God, I can't remember her name. She says
Gabriella, I think.
We'll call her Bill Potts.
Gabriella was her bestie, wasn't it?
We'll call her Bill Potts.
Gabriella.
So they make their way into. This is Ryan and is it Gabriella? Is that what you said?
I think so.
No.
Oh wait, no, not Suki's person.
All right, we'll say Bill Potts, so we know who we're talking about. They make their way into a hospital, which did not remind me of. If you've ever played a game, as an old computer game called Resident Evil. Now, the first Resident Evil game, which is a fantastic game, by the way, these corridors and these scenes reminded me of that. The way they were lit and the way they looked. Really, really quite cool.
By the way, she is called Gabriella. It's Jamila who's her friend.
Jamila is the friend, that's right.
Yeah, Jamila, yeah. Yes. That's the one that's gone. Gabriella. Jamila's gone. She's been hijacked. Anyway, so... And then they find her in this hospital under a sheet. And
in the that was going to be my next quote, was what you shouldn't go through somewhere that says quarantine if it says quarantine.
Yeah, that was another good quote. Anyway, she wakes up. Oh, the doctor turns up. The doctor turns up with Ryan and... Gabriella, that right? Just as
there's too many people.
Jamila explodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Graham and Jake and Yaz are still poking around. Yeah. There's a funny scene in which Graham has the fancy right piece of kit. Wall.
No, it's right behind that door.
Yeah, because he's got it upside down.
Turning around.
Tom said I was laughing a lot watching this one because he wasn't watching this. He was doing supper. Yeah. He said that it's the first Doctor Who in a while that I've just been sat there chortling, and it was mainly because of him.
Yeah.
So
comic
they find me and Mary's son in a sort of strapped to some machine. And still in his space
name
suit.
Is Adam.
Yes. Adam Lang, cool.
Yeah, Lang.
And I think it's at this point we discover that that Jake and he are married.
Separated marriage. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, separated.
I didn't know they were separated. Are they separated then?
Yeah, one of them says separated, and he says married, and
they
change at the same time. Yeah, I like that. And then, of course, the are you my mummies come into the room, shooting things, not very bad shots. Yaz grabs this sort of this gadget, which they don't seem to want to shoot, sort of like plate.
Oh, it's important. Mm. Yeah. like that bit.
And then Jake grabs our son and. They get the hell out of there while Jake does a bit of kick ass.
I hope we get him for a con one day, because that would be terrific.
I don't know. I don't know if it's during these scenes, but there were some scenes in this room with Ryan where I noticed he's got that little blue thing stuck behind his ear. Are those things...
Because he's Bluetooth. Talking to the doctor at one point.
It's
isn't
a Bluetooth
he? When,
thing,
when she
isn't
goes,
it?
Who are you talking to? It's because he's got the little microphone.
Oh, because that's what that is? Okay, yeah. I'm checking back
taxi
to
drivers
like, the first
use
episode
them. They're Bluetooth.
When she puts those little stickers behind their ears for, I don't even remember why, but it protects them somehow.
Yeah,
it reminded me of that, but when you look at it, it's a speaker, a little tiny...
Yeah, it's like a communication device. Anyway, so as they're leaving, Jake goes all kick-ass and he grabs... Ooh, excuse me. A laser phaser rifle thingy jig off one of the Are You My Mummies? And then, he's very kick ass. And they. Hang on, what was the doctor looking at there? She tries to find out, tries to get the mask off, and it doesn't come off, obviously, to find out what they are. And, hang on, just look, Miss Slider's moving backwards instead of forwards. And they go into the TARDIS, and we have to go for that. Those sort of one-on-one scenes between some of the characters. This time it's Ryan and his latest flirty partner, which is Gabrielle. And then we just have.
It seems very upset that nobody recognises her.
Yeah. And then of course the others drag me and Mary's son into the TARDIS, but for some reason, Yaz. wants to stay behind, and I remember while watching this last week that Isabella said, "Oh, good, maybe she'll get killed." Which is a bit harsh, isn't it? So she stays behind to try and get this plate thing that she thinks is really important.
Gabrielle stays with her as well because she wants to hurt things, she says, or something. Yeah. I'm in the mood for beating things up or something like that, doesn't she?
Yeah.
And the doctor lets them go, oddly.
Yeah, very oddly. Thought that was a bit odd.
Weird. I would think the doctor would have stayed behind.
But I suppose she's got that communication doodah attached to her, so if anything bad happens, she could always nip back and...
And grab her, because she seems to have got the hang of the TARDIS, which I must admit, in Sophie Aldred's book, she points out a couple of times that this doctor's got the hang of the TARDIS.
I thought after several thousand years, as the doctor was quoted as saying earlier on the series, that she would have. She does seem to be very, very symbiotically attached to it. She's even having telepathic conversations with it now. Mm-hmm. So I think that's acceptable at this stage, that she could be more in communication with the TARDIS. I haven't got a problem with that. As long as I can keep it consistent, she remains, in good touch with it.
Consistently inconsistent.
Yeah. But it's always been, as far as Doctor Who's concerned, it's always been the Doctor's ability to fly the TARDIS is tied together with its need in the script. Does that make sense?
Master.
No. Anyway, right,
Master.
So the...
Oh, Master.
Christ's sake. Yes?
I think I'm going to have to bow out because we're just being too loud. I'm going to have to hang up.
You're being too loud?
Well, Fred's trying to sleep.
Oh, okay.
Oh well, that's good.
So I'm just going to say that it was okay. It was better than Orphan 55, but only slightly.
Okay. Thank you for that,
Kirby.
I'll
just talk with you guys next week. Sorry about that.
Okay. Thank you, Kirby.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Anyway, exactly, drive safe.
Why did he Skype in if she was trying to sleep?
Yes, I was just thinking that myself. maybe.
I'd be trying.
I haven't hung up yet.
Who hasn't? Do you want me to hang up?
Can you disconnect me?
Hey! All right, then. I'll try my best, Kirby. Right, then. There we go. Remove from call. He's gone.
I haven't gone yet. Yes, so I know you haven't. I can see the symbol.
Yeah. But, yeah.
I can stop bitching. But
maybe his participation in the episode was written by Chris Chibnall this week. I don't know if that's the reason why. Right, so there's a beautiful scene in which the TARDIS materialises on this
on
exotic
that pristine
beach.
Pristine Madagascan beach. Mm.
And in one of the scenes, it does look a little bit like the Gower, but then it goes back to looking like this Madagascan beach again. So, the Gower is a place in Wales, Debbie. Just like
I
say.
I know. It's
near Swansea.
I know.
So anyway, they all leave the TARDIS carrying me and Mary's son, while the funniest animatronic crow is watching in the background.
Oh my god! That
I noticed that too.
The way its little head was sort of moving left and right, but I suppose.
It was lovely. It was so sweet to see a proper animatronic for a change, rather than CGI. But
birds
so
move their heads; they flick them, don't they? This head was moving really slowly. Yeah. But as we know, it was actually a plastic bird, so maybe it fitted.
Well,
that.
It was great to see. I really enjoyed that bit. Actually,
The other chap that's on the beach, he can't even remember his blooming name.
I've told you it a couple of times, and now I can't remember. It's something like Amana or something. Let me have a look.
And then some birds start circling.
His name is Amaru.
Amaru?
Amaru. Isn't that a character in a Ghibli film?
I don't know. But anyway, all these birds start circling, and that chap you just mentioned sort of takes a couple of strides out to watch them. And while Gabriella and Yaz go and reclaim the little gadget. But as they're doing that, they find this bloke, the Are You My Mummy Man, basically teleport out of the place. And Yaz comes up with a great plan.
Of doing the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's really on this particular episode. I think she's trying to be the Doctor.
Well, yeah, I mean, her lines are exactly the Doctor's lines. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She even delivers them like the Doctor delivers them. So I don't know if she's just really, around her so much that she's taken on her personality, or whether the writers just can't write anything else.
It did feel like she took on the Doctor's role for this bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really did feel like that.
The lines are exactly the way
A lot of the recent companions have had that, haven't they? Like, Clara was very heavily influenced by the Doctor into being the Doctor.
I know, that's my fear.
And Donna was, because she was Dr. Donna. So, I mean, anyway, moving on.
She was terrific.
She was terrific. Anyway, so Suki is a bit of a doctor herself. She's got a lab. And they get me and Mary's son on the bed in the lab and do some sort of
that
experimentation
will never get
on him.
That's so funny.
And meanwhile, Graham is wearing his specs for this particular scene. And some of those little things start growing on his neck while Yaz and Gabrielle decide to go via this thingy. What's it called again? Teleport. That's it. To see what's going on. And then we have another scene between this time Jake and Graham, where Graham gives him a bit of advice and Jake talks about his love for me and Mary's son. The scene goes on for a bit, actually. Meanwhile, Yaz and Gabriella arrive in the whale's tummy from Dr. Matt Smith story.
Mm-hmm.
Britain,
So I was half expecting them to be standing in some goo and stuff, but there's netting in there, which again, that fitting for a whale's tummy. And then they find a spaceship. They find a spaceship in it.
They find a
submarine.
I found that submarine, she says to the doctor.
Why did I say spaceship? I think when I was watching, I said spaceship, and the other said, it's a submarine.
Mm-hmm. So, which we just did, so repeat there.
Anyway, so me and Mary's son is starting to get royal worse because the little things are growing on his face. Now, the director of this particular scene made a bit of a cock-up because... As Jake comes in to have a chat with him, he has to really turn his head quite violently to reveal the strange growths on the side of his face.
Yes, yeah.
It's like, look at this.
Yeah, I forgot
and then
to
mention. I think they come a little unattached. It looks like they stand away from his face a little bit.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that I think it was Ryan was given the task of dissecting one of the birds.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Didn't you do that at school?
A bird which is basically stuffed full of plastic, rather like a lot of seabirds are at the moment, as Sir David Attenborough has pointed out.
I was a bit worried that this scene was going to become a little bit too preachy. I mean, she gets over the fact that we're all full of microplastics but it didn't become too preachy. It was like, this is what's happened, let's get on with the plot, and I really appreciate
it.
So meanwhile, the other chap is on the beach getting chased by a load of birds. He gets attacked by a load of birds while they're still in the lab faffing around, and the doctor's looking at Brian. Graham,
we just live to assume
slides.
that poor guy dies because nothing else is ever said about him.
So the doctor does wonder whether this is obviously Natshan knows she knows it's got a plastic so are involved in this, and is thinking, is it the autons? Well, it, and then realise it quickly isn't.
Oh, that was lovely. Is it that? No.
And then I'm pretty sure. And then she gets a call from Yaz from inside the whatever it is there that she's in. Spaceship, I suppose, was it?
It's
under the ocean, isn't it?
Yeah, they're under the ocean.
Yeah,
actually.
So they're under the ocean. And then that's when suddenly Suki becomes a bit evil. She sort of adopts this very evil stance. And when this happens, they always do this.
It turns out she's just experimenting on the human race to try and save her people.
Yeah. They move the camera in quite close to the doctor to make her eyes look bigger. And, you know, when the doctor's sort of having a one-on-one with somebody who's a bit naughty. And just move on a bit. Yeah. And meanwhile, our son is getting a bit worse and worse. And the birds get in to the lab and start flapping around and scaring everyone, a bit like the film, a famous film.
Isla did not like that. She was literally sat there with a cushion in front of her.
They managed to get out while they're being chased by these birds. And there's a great drone shot of them running along the beach. It's very quick, but it is really good. And they just about get into the TARDIS. I was half expecting a few birds to get into the TARDIS.
But they sort of get sucked out, wouldn't they? Like those other things that were trying to get in the other week.
Yeah.
And they got repelled out through the force field or something.
I see. Oh, I didn't think of that one. So, moving on. Oh, yeah. So inside this underwater thingy, Yaz is able to pull off the... I'll try and finish that sentence before it sounds rude. Pull off the gas mask and finds within the gas mask is a face that's covered by all this sort of plasticky stuff. The doctor, meanwhile, has me and Mary's son attached to some sort of medical device within the TARDIS to monitor his...
The TARDIS is trying to solve what's wrong with him and come up with an antidote.
Yeah, she's trying. They're trying to get the TARDIS but to come out with an antidote. Is she not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes? Yeah. Not an antidote, it's a... Yeah, it is an antidote, isn't it?
An antidote.
Vaccine.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the word vaccine. So. And there's a great shot of when Suki sort of looks up. Not Suki, Gabriella looks up, and they zoom out, and you see all this sort of massive sea of plastic and above them. And the doctor then does a little speech about the environment and plastics and blah, blah, blah. And then there's a very romantic moment when Jake thinks that... our son is about to die, and they sort of have a lovely few words together. The doctor, meanwhile, nips into the underwater thing to do some poking around.
And it turns out Suki's injected herself and let her people know about this miracle serum, but it was made for humans. But then if it was made for humans, how does it cure the birds? That's what Isla's big question was. Big loophole. She was like, mommy, what about the poor birds? And I was like... Bingo.
Very insightful.
That's the loophole. That's not the loophole. Is that the word loophole? It's not a loophole. It's plot hole, isn't it?
Plot hole.
That's the plot hole that they're...
When you drop a truck through,
I can forgive one plot hole. But anyway, moving on. So there's a point in which Suki points the gun at the doctor, or the laser thingy, rifle thingamajig, and then she points at the doctor an extremely long time, and then she suddenly turns into one of these plastic things and explodes. And then, just as that happens, Jake takes me and Mary's son out of the TARDIS, and he's well again because the vaccine's worked. Woohoo!
Yay! Now they've got to fire it off into the stratosphere to cure everybody else.
Yeah, which is okay. It's a bit like what they did in the is it the Sontaran stratagem, something like that?
Yes, yeah, when they clear the stratosphere, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
And,
yeah.
So let's move on a bit. While they're all doing, there's a bit of action going on while the Doctor, because there's a very limited period of time that they use the spaceship, don't they?
If they start it, they basically will destroy the cocoon of plastic it's put around itself. So they've got to get
in the TARDIS for the Big Bang. Because it's Jake that's flying the spaceship, isn't it?
Yeah, they put it on autopilot, and then he hears, as he's the last one leaving, he hears it say autopilot's been compromised, so he stays behind. But nobody realises until they're all in the TARDIS.
Of course, you think, because it's a romantic story, you think that he's going to die, but the Doctor does a very heroic thing, which he didn't do for Adric.
Yes, that's another glaring plot hole. Yes, I posted quite
but,
soon
hang
after
on, it's not
that
glaring, though, Debbie. Can I just say... I said about 5 minutes ago about the Doctor and her symbiosis with the TARDIS, her ability to control it in the last few thousand. I think it's a good excuse.
Right. That's what I'm afraid of.
The Doctor used in his original excuse was,
it was a
fixed point in time, stuff like that. Because Adric's
landing in was it?
He's thinking that Adric's exploding would wipe out the dinosaurs, allowing humans to exist, fixed point in time. Or the other excuse, which he did mention, because he doesn't want to make himself look stupid, he wasn't as skilled flyer of the TARDIS as he was then as he is now. Just saying. She is now.
I'll let him off then.
The 11th Doctor was materializing the TARDIS around people. So, you know, there's people he could have saved but did not.
The Doctor knows who to save and who not to save, who should be alive and who shouldn't be, who's a fixed point in time.
I suppose Adric was a bit irritating, but, you know, he didn't
but it was
have
still
to
good.
Do.
But it's not a plot hole, it's just a choice, isn't it, basically, at the end of the day.
I'd go back and get Adric, personally, if I could do.
No, but there's no fixed point. You could save Adric and still let the spaceship destroy the Daleks,
exactly.
But there you go.
Exactly, if I've learned that skill, I'd go back and get
I said Daleks, I meant Earth.
Yeah, you know what
happened. Right then, so I'm going to turn the fire. Alexa, room fire off.
And they go off, don't they, after it's all been
off
saved.
Off into the sunset, literally, Debbie. Right then, okay, practice.
They log their lives away. But how are they going to explain the fact that this astronaut who's been missing has now just turned up?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not bothered. Anyway, right, so... Praxeus. It was okay. I mean, what annoyed me, and it does annoy me when I think about it, is this constant being bashed over the head with things that we're having to live with in everyday life on the news and everything, which most of us who watch programs like this,
it's
to take you away from it, and they're bashing us over the head with, you know, what was it earlier on? It was the environment that led to these weird creatures and that domed place. Now we're getting, we know, the UK I think knows pretty well that plastics, you know, need to be not got rid of, but managed better.
A lot of our supermarkets are looking into being getting rid of single-use plastic and everything like that. Yeah. We're having it all the time. This is supposed to be escapism,
I don't want to be preached to about things that the governments of the world seem need to be. Because, I mean, this is Doctor Who. How many politicians are going to be watching Doctor Who and being moved to... Yeah, to move to actually do anything about it. I agree with the sentiment of the story. But having known that we'd just been bashed over the head with this particular subject, take that out of it. It was okay. It was quite a good little story.
Good monster.
Pardon?
Good monster.
I quite like the this sort of effect of the, you know, this sort of them being covered by this thing and then exploding. It's a very tidy way of getting rid of the body, at least.
Just need a dustpan and brush job done.
But I think I'm not going to say too much about today's episode, which I quite enjoyed, but again, there's a hidden message. Well, it's a glaring, obvious message in it.
It's message. They're slapping you over the head again.
Shut up, Chibnall. Otherwise, we're going to have a big vote to get you fired, because I'll tell you what, Moffat's is heaven compared with what you're trying to do to the series, I'm afraid, sir.
Amen to that.
Take out all these political messages. You've got a really good story. You know, why?
Absolutely.
You know, it's just sort of tainting it a little bit for me.
I do understand that this is supposed to be a kids' TV show as well, but they're getting it slammed over their heads as well.
The kids know more about it than we do because they get educated when they're at school.
The environmental issues and things. I totally understand that we should be discussing it. It should be discussed, but
I am disgusted. I'm disgusted.
I know, but just every week, it's just like
it's ruining it. You wait all year for it, and then you get
You get told off.
We know it's a bad thing.
The doctor's off almost every week.
What are they going to do next week? And we've watched this week's episode. Is it going to be Brexit for episode 9? It's ridiculous.
You just get tired of that finger waving at your face all the time.
You're a human.
You're naughty. You're infallible.
And
next week's...
Not infallible, sorry.
I'll talk about... there's one we've just watched. Quite a good story. But... again, if you've got the issues yourself that this week's story is trying to help, I suppose, in some hidden way, you actually watch Doctor Who to take yourself away from that particular state.
Yeah.
So all the soap operas do that. Watch a soap opera then. You know, Doctor Who is a fantasy thing. Mm-hmm. Fantasy takes you away from what it's supposed to. From these things, and Chibnall's a twat.
As a kid, you had like Grange Hill to do all that sort of thing, and then you'd watch Doctor Who for light relief afterwards.
Yeah.
You know,
I've said it now.
I can see it being, you know, a subtle thing that is interjected periodically, you know, in a few episodes, but no, not the way that they're hitting us over the head with it.
Yes, I've just created a new hashtag: Chibnall's a twat, and we're going to stick with that one. Take out all that stuff. He's got really good stories. I mean, and he's also put in this series one of the best ever. It's just ridiculous what they're doing.
I don't agree that they're all good stories.
No, that one is. The other ones are okay. They're okay stories. That the one said one a couple of weeks ago, superb. But it's just ruining it. It's ridiculous what they're doing, to be fair. And the other thing that's annoyed me is this constant drony background music in the quiet scenes. You know, when they're having these one-on-one conversations, all you hear is going on in the background. It's like tinnitus.
Yeah.
But there you go. Right then, so it's basically, it was a meh story. It was okay, quite pretty, and I quite like the characters in it. Especially like Jake and Adam. I thought they were really good characters. Enjoyed their relationship. Enjoyed the romance of that. Obviously the locations are really good and the new monsters are really good. I quite like that aspect of it. If they could have worked the plastic side of it in without preaching to us, I would have quite enjoyed that, you know. But there we go. That's Praxeus. Right then, what did you think about it, Debbie?
Well, going forward from what we were just talking about, when we were doing the review, in that scene where she's going on about plastics and things, it wasn't as preachy as it has been. That's what I was trying to get to about it, but it is still there. It's still, this is the issues you are dealing with right now. And it's like, yeah, we know, we all feel terrible about this.
This is why we're watching Doctor Who, to get our minds away from it.
Yeah, we're watching this wonderful, brilliant fantasy science fiction TV show that I've adored all my life, and now I'm getting told off for being a human is just not fair. It's like, please don't tell me off. I do understand, she says guiltily, unpacking something from the shop that she couldn't buy unless it was wrapped in plastic, you know, that sort of thing. Please don't make me feel like that. I love you. Don't do that. Right. And I did feel that this one, beautiful locations, absolutely fantastic. I absolutely loved the way that they made the plastic sort of cocoon thing the spaceship was in. I absolutely loved that. You were just sort of looking at all the bits and bobs that were in there. And that must have been quite a lot of fun to make, actually, to get that. Then you've got the birds that doesn't really... It ended for me like the spiders one, previous season. You know, with the spiders just being locked up in a room and left. It's like, how are the birds going to be healed if it was made for human, this thing? But then I said to Isla about it, I said, well, maybe it's a terrestrial thing, a terrestrial... because we were talking about it while we were watching it, because she was worried about the birds. And I was like, well, maybe it's for terrestrial animals, like the cats we've got are terrestrial, you know, that sort of thing. Maybe it's that kind of serum. But I don't think that was explained well enough. And then having Suki explode was like, okay, well, she's humanoid. So that was us thinking, oh, my God, it's not going to work. And then it worked. And then they just fired it into the stratosphere without testing it on anybody else.
Yeah.
So it was like, okay, well, I'll accept that. I'll accept it will work. I'll accept it will work. But I'm also really upset about the birds. Because I like birds, you know. And yeah, so it just felt that was left. And then that poor Amaru guy on the beach, was he okay? You know, they went back to the beach and he wasn't there.
That's because he got done in by the birds.
Was his bones picked clean by the birds? Because it was just implied that they were just trying to scratch the humans.
Don't let them
scratch you. Don't let them scratch you because they're carrying the virus. And so was he just sat on the beach going, what happened? You know, will they all wander off into the sunset? We were introduced to so many characters and yet just, you know, they felt like they could just go, yeah, that one can just bugger off. You know, it was like, no. I want to know what happened to him.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. That's what I'm saying.
Some sort of fan fiction or something about it at some point.
We'll take all that political PC stuff out of it. It's actually not a bad story.
It's just
you get these things. It's like, you know, when you're waiting for Christmas and you're expecting for a nice Christmas present and you open up the wrapping. And it's rubbish. You know, it's sort of...
And it's a manifesto, you know, and that's the problem.
Yeah. Christmas itself is nice. It just gets ruined by... It's that sort of thing, you know, by something that taints it. And you've got a good story, basis of a good story, very interesting story, and then you we're getting preached to again.
Yeah, instead of spending the time explaining that actually if we adjust it slightly, it would help all the... They could have just put a line in there going, and if I just change that code there, that would cover every animal in the world. Instead, it was every animal's got plastic in them, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you could have just explained how you saved the birds, you know. Yeah. And the fact that I was worried about the birds shows I wasn't as engaged as I would normally be with Doctor Who. Yeah. And I've watched this episode twice now, so it was like, okay. So for me, it was a meh episode, but a good meh. So there you go.
Good meh. I'm trying to, you know, be positive about it. Because it had a lot of potential.
Exactly, and I've always loved Doctor Who. And
I mean, the only one that is really, really
bad, you know,
is that one, you know, the one in the dome. That one, that's terrible.
I suppose it doesn't help as well that I've been saturating myself in Doctor Who books this last week. So, it's... I'm reading some good stuff, and then I'm holding out for really good story and good scripts. And it's just to have been basically told off again is just like, please just can we just have an adventure where we just go yes and we cheer and we stand up and we go,
having said sorry to interrupt there, but having said all that about, you know, this series and this story not being too bad, if you take that away from it, the series is terrible as a whole. It's the worst Doctor Who series of all time. It's got the best story for a long time, but as a series and a whole, it is the worst, and it can't recover from that, even if the last two stories are really quite good. Yeah, that's like, what's that, 30% of the whole series? It's really, you know, it's if you were a politician, you'd probably expect to be fired at the end of, a series like that. Just saying.
What last two stories? There's only been one really good one so far this season.
One. The first story of the series wasn't too bad. That's Skyfall. Sorry, Spyfall. That was okay, you know, but the rest of it is just, it's just been a complete... just a joke, really. It's just rubbish. You need to kick up the... But nobody's going to give it to him. He'll just carry on doing it. What sort of strange PC messages is he going to come up with for the third series that's going to ruin Doctor Who?
Yeah.
And the people that didn't want a female doctor, it's not the female doctor that's ruining, it's the showrunner.
Right.
It always makes me laugh, you know, when it came to the end of the RTD era. Oh, go, RTD's rubbish, get rid of him. Oh, bring in Moffat, hallelujah. And then, you know, we get 3 or 4 years of Moffat, or 5 years even, you know. Oh, he's so rubbish, get rid of him. Oh, he's ruining Doctor Who. Oh, we're getting you, I'll get Chibnall in. Well, hallelujah. And Chibnall's worse than all of them.
Really?
But again, he doesn't have to be, because he's got the potential of something really, really good, and he just likes to ruin it. He just puts in the wrong ingredients. You know, it's like having a cake instead of putting sugar and you put salt in. Isn't Egypt?
It's called a political agenda is what it's called.
We didn't do it in the first series. The first series wasn't too bad. This series, bloody appalling.
And, I thought the last series wasn't too great either.
Well, it's certainly better than this one. It's terrible. Anyway, so, and we'll have to obviously look back on this in the future, maybe. And you don't know what's going to happen in the future, whether your opinions change, you know.
Oh, yeah, they
do. I'm sitting here waiting for something good to happen, and you get an absolutely mind-blowing story. How can they do that? Have one really mind-blowing story and have the rest of it a load of rubbish. It's ridiculous. And, yeah.
Well, what I'm afraid of, and you can add to this if you want to, about the episode you just saw, it seems like they hit us with a really, really interesting and engaging episode that leaves a lot of threads hanging that we want to see developed. But then now I'm afraid we're getting all of these, you know, weak little stories while they're promising us only two more stories till the pot, you know, this wonderful two-part finale. And I'm thinking, do we have to sit through all of this to get to the two-part finale?
No.
Which is going to go...
You're supposed the whole thing is supposed to be an enjoyable ride until you get to them. And we're not getting the enjoyable ride at all. We're getting the, oh, no, what are they going to... How much are they going to treat us like children now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at least Moffat was dropping in things along the way to keep us, you know, going.
Yeah, and they weren't... Well, they were just story-related.
We would need a few more of those, don't we?
Yeah.
Just put Barrett back on the TARDIS, job done.
It's just frustrating because there's potential, you know, but they're just getting ruined every week. At least, you know, by now we know we've got nothing to expect for the next three episodes. You know, just expect sit it out to the end of the series and we'll find out who the other Doctor is, whether we're going to see Captain Jack again. And what's going to happen to the because I doubt very much that all of the companions will still be there by the time we get to the last and what will probably be the last series of Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor.
He said that Ryan's not here anymore,
haven't they? They need to keep the series running, but I think they need to just get in a showrunner who's not had any connections with being, well, you know, fandom from Doctor Who from the years gone by, you know, because that's what they seem to do. You know, RTD was a Doctor Who fan. We went into writing. So was Moffat. So was Chibnall. But Chibnall, the rich thing
maybe
about
we
him...
we should give it a go with fans.
Yeah, but the rich thing about Chibnall
fans.
Is that he was the one who took the mickey out of Pip and Jane Baker all those years ago on that daytime TV show. He laid into Pip and Jane Baker for some poor writing. And...
yes.
Pot, kettle. Right then, Mary, what did you think of it? Hang on, wish me.
Do you want to play the music?
Yeah. What do you think of it then, Mary?
Well, actually, I thought that this story started out very promisingly. Mm. I was very much engaged and wanting to know more for about the first 15 or 20 minutes before it started to then slide sideways, you know, into the political agenda and everything else.
People
that
we've said that, yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah, we've already been talking about. Mm. Yeah. And along with the environment message that he wants to keep wagging his finger at us about, something else has been bothering me, and he's not alone, but I want escapism with Doctor Who, is this emphasis on gay relationships. Mm. To look at modern TV and movies, it seems like, gee, gay people must make up 80% of the population to look at how they're represented. In, they're like major characters or they're all the characters in a show. And it's not that I'm against gay people, but I hate having, you know, the gay relationships constantly being thrown at me. It's kind of like, we're going to shove this down your throat until you accept this. It's like, I accept it. You know, can we move on and write better stories? And then I wrote down the comments that we've talked about where it looked like there was a whole section there where they must have written it for the Doctor, but instead they had Yaz be the one to do the, you know, the teleporting, because her lines were lines written for the Doctor, and she did deliver them the same way the Doctor delivers them. So, and I don't think this is just, you know, one woman having an influence on another. I think they must have made a change in who was going to do that scene.
Yeah, because Yaz hasn't got enough to do. Simple as that.
Yeah, let's give Yaz something to do here.
Give her a companion as well,
give her a companion, very good, yeah. And I have to say that I'm a little less offended about this message about the microplastics. I am not one that subscribes to this global warming alarmism that's going on, so I hate having that constantly thrown at me. But I don't mind when something that is currently an issue can be turned into a possible monster for us. Remember how the electronics that we're all kind of enslaved to became something that was controlling us. In that other story, you know, yeah. I like that, you know, it's like, oh, it's something that's already in our lives and we don't see that it can become a monster. Mm-hmm. Well, the microplastics is in our lives now. There are whole islands of that floating around in the ocean. So the fact that it could become something of a monster for us is an okay message. I just didn't want it to be, you know, big and shoved in my face, but I don't mind it being a part of a story. Because, I mean, I think that's what the Autons were about when those stories came out was, you know, look at how, you know, plastics are becoming so much a part of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, that could become a monster that we have to deal with in the future. And the only other thing that really bothered me was, again, that TARDIS materializing around Adam Jake to save him at the very end. This doctor seems gifted with a lot of magical tools. And she's got her sonic screwdriver that does everything, which I'm not too fond of. And now if she can do this kind of thing, saving everybody all the time with her TARDIS, it's just one more magic tool. And it's the story becomes less about the doctor being smart and how we can outsmart bad things. It becomes more about, oh, well, if I only had a magic tool, I could fix this, you know. So I don't like the direction that is taking. I think the old Doctor Who encouraged, you know, put the guns down and let's, you know, work this out with our mental capacities. Now it's all about magic tools. And so that bugs me a little bit. But like you guys say, it's a meh, it's a high meh, but it still is.
It's a meh, but a high meh. I'm like that. We're going to use the meh scale from now on, I think.
Well, I didn't totally hate the stories. You know, disappointed. Not another message, you know. I'll just take the message out of it, and it's not bad.
I mean, I don't mind references to things that we could just not be smarter about.
Not have my skull caved in with it, you know. I don't mind the things being mentioned at all, you know. Anyway, right then. So we have stuff coming through on the feed. Ian Kirk says, "My Alexa, nearly said it too loud. Says it can't find the front room fire." Joshua Dybel says, "You're spot on, Adam." Well, of course I am. I missed my bell. There we are. "You're spot on, Adam. Chibnall is a nightmare, as I expected he would be. I'd given in to the fact that this just isn't going to be an era of who I am likely to ever enjoy, like the JNT era, dare I say it. Got many years to wait now." Ian Kirk, "This series is shown on a Sunday, so we get a sermon." Alan T. Butcher says, "I think Adam's had a difficult week."
We've just found out you and Mary have a son.
That's right. We didn't even know it.
Jeff Waddle says, "I'm absolutely loving this season after almost 10 years of enjoyable dross."
Wow, Jeff.
I'm glad somebody likes it, because if somebody likes it, it'll continue. Jason Rushworth says, "I'm to the point where I'm thinking, how is Doctor Who going to offend me this week?" I speak as a fan. Yeah. As long as we're not offending it, that's the main thing. So there we go. That is the Praxeus, which I think in the long term I might end up liking. I don't know. Just, you know, when I've got used to, or I can actually blank my mind to the political messages. I might try and I think sometimes you with old stories that you think you didn't like and you watch them again, you enjoy them because you do tend to, when they're older and you've watched them a few times, you know something that you don't like is coming, so you just ignore it and just concentrate on the good stuff. I don't know.
Yeah,
possibly, just thinking. It's Doctor Who. It's on, so we've got something to talk about. But I will do wish they bloody cut out that droney background music when we've got a quiet scene. It's supposed to be quiet. I saw it's turn the blooming radio off. Who's got the radio off there? I want to hear what they're saying. Right, I did put in
this last episode. Right at the end, there was an example of the no music, with just the TARDIS making noise in the background.
I don't mind that. That's okay. Right then, well, I'm just going to look, because I did a request for feedback, very late one, because I almost forgot, for this week's story, and we got the following.
We got a lot of feedback.
Duncan Nifton says, for once, I was getting bored with this one, just didn't keep me interested. Jeff Waddle says, first 20 minutes was great, spooky, quite horror film-like, a real mystery, but unfortunately, that was followed by... Unfortunately, what followed was bland. Would a shuttle blasting a cure into the atmosphere reach every point on planet Earth? Don't think so. Suppose anything would appear bland after last week's episode. True. 7 out of 10. Robert Vence Jr. says, tried it before in the Poison Sky 2 partner and Atmos. He's supposed to say there. So more or less said what I said. And then Jeff said, yes. And that story was rotten. Patrick Bishop says, oh, it's a long one from Patrick Bishop. Who can read that one? Because my eyes will go crossed, and I'm trying to read this with varifocals, and the part of the focal that's in focus is a bit in the very, very middle, so it makes it very difficult to read.
I can read it.
Go on in, thank you.
While not as heavy-handed as Orphan 55, it still comes off as more Captain Planet than Doctor Who with the environmental message.
Yep.
I have no problem with the message. I just think there are more subtle ways to get the point across. Younger viewers are even more sophisticated now than when we watched the show as kids, so I don't think you need to hit them over the head with it. Also, was the other scientist working with the woman also an alien? Mm. He gets killed by the birds on the beach, and no one mentions him for the rest of the episode.
That's what you said, Mary.
There you go.
Yeah. A bit sloppy, in my opinion. All in all, not too bad an episode, though, and so far is leaps and bounds better than last series.
Well, I don't know about that.
I will say this. Intentional or not, they sure are foreshadowing the demise of Yaz.
Yes.
Notice how the camera lingers on her and the Doctor when she decides to go on her own back into the warehouse to retrieve the alien device. And also her risky action to follow the alien through the transmet, totally negating the reason she went gambling. Gambled going back in the first place. Okay. It's very subtle, but I'll bet you anything she's not going to make it out of this season series. I like the Yaz character, but everyone knows that's the TARDIS is a bit crowded.
Yes.
Looking forward to the rest of the series.
Yes. Well, we can look forward to it in hope, Patrick.
Well, it was already crowded, and then they go and add in loads more.
Let's just look into the next episode.
The Doctor does look at her in a kind of a sad way when she runs off like that. So
let's look into the next episode. Just okay, they're going to hit us with something, some political message, and see if we can actually blank our minds to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Robert Vence Jr. I think they are going to need to let someone or two go. Not just enough for them to do, the Doctor and one companion. Now, we were actually with this week's, and it's not a spoiler, but the relationship between the Doctor and Graham works so well. It just the balance is perfect. Them two together, because he's got the comic ability, comic acting ability. He's also got the dramatical acting ability. And the stuff he comes out with is perfect companion fodder.
Knows how the timing of a good line.
It reminds me of the Doctor and Jamie. It's just perfect balance. He can be a bit of a hero as well in certain sequences. So I think that's what they need to try and go down. But whether Bradley Walsh will stay on for the third series, I don't know. We'll find out, I suppose, won't we? And there's another bit from Robert Vence Jr. that's quite long, Mary.
Well, Patrick Bishop. Response.
Yes.
He says, agreed, and I think when they do leave, Ryan and Graham will go together by choice or by tragedy.
No. Don't want that.
Oh, sorry, my cat's just trumped.
Nice.
Okay, then Robert Wentz Jr. says, review Praxeus. Well, again, it was okay, a middle-in-the-road episode. Kind of reminds me of the pyramid at the end of the road arc a few years ago. Is there some kind of environment arc going on here? This series is going to be hit or miss, yet the location shots were wonderful. I enjoyed the background more than the story itself. All this has been done before. Instead of going through time, we go from place to place to place. Yeah. Instead of zombie people, we have zombie apocalypse birds like Resident Evil. Yeah. Shooting the cure in the sky like burning the sky off like the Poison Sky two-parter. I hope for some better episodes down the road. So far, Spyfall and the Jadoon one is the bar set this series. 3 out of a 5 rating. He's kind of a high met, too.
I mean, that's that particular story, the Jadoon one, just shows what it's ridiculous.
Cat was disgusting then. I apologize.
Thank you for that. I'm sorry that Debbie decided to use a cat file to talk all over that particular bit of feedback. But
Sorry. I was so offended. I didn't hit mute. Disgusted. I do apologize.
We were pretty offended as well, actually. Well, you can even spell it. Any more, Mary?
The tooty little flute.
All right, shut up. Enough information.
And there's a new one by Joshua Dyball.
Yes.
He says, it was okay, but yet again, a bit meh, 6 out of 10. I've only really enjoyed 2 episodes in this series, so feeling a bit downbeat with it all at the moment. Have reverted to watching older Who episodes to reinvigorate my love of the show, which works well. Watched Flatline this afternoon, and it reminded me of everything I love and miss about Doctor Who.
Cool. Okay.
Marvelous. Mm-hmm.
I must admit, I do seem to be reaching for older Who or for Big Finish or books more season than I have been other because normally I'd like to concentrate on the season, but this time I'm seeking out more comfort in Who, I think, than anything else.
It's like there's this little hole in our hearts, you know, that need to be filled.
Yeah. I feel that what the Doctor Who's trying to do in the way it's made now and where it's shot, and which is beautiful, by the way, they're trying to sort of keep up with the Netflix style of... you know, presenting drama in some ways. And I'm not going to knock Netflix because it's really good value for money. I'm not also going to advertise it. I'm just saying that the service is amazing because the quality is so good and the choices are good. And it's just, and I think that that's what they're trying to, you know, to cater for. They're trying to not make Doctor Who look out of place among the things you can watch on Netflix. I just think they could just tone down the background music in quiet scenes, and especially if they're going to use this whole series as a political message, get it out of the way, and there's hopefully the next series. And the third series of most Doctors tends to be the best, doesn't it? The third and last. So hopefully that'll be the case. But I think they do need to get rid of Chibnall. I've never said that about a showrunner before. Even Moffat, I could cope with Moffat. I was looking forward to a change, just to sort of for a change of direction. But Chibnall is clueless in regards to what he's doing with the show at the moment.
I would disagree about the last season being the best. If you look at the 11th Doctor series, his first and second were really good, but once he took on Clara
Clara. I know you lot didn't like Clara, but I liked Clara as a character. So,
but I mean,
I'm in the minority. You know, I am.
The Rings of Akatan and things like that. I thought that last series was really bad.
I preferred that to this because at least it was escapism.
You hate the Clara show. That was the problem.
I didn't mind. Yeah. I didn't mind Clara at all. I think she's very easy on the eye, and I found her quite a fascinating concept.
The 12th Doctor, his third season was absent Clara, and he had Bill, and I thought that was a much better season.
That was
his last again.
Just think he was on his way out then, because he actually hit his stride as the Doctor.
That was his last, as I was trying to point this one away. And I think, obviously, with looking at, for me, Matt Smith's last season, and I'm not going to... I like Clara, but take Clara out of the equation. You've got some of the best Doctor Who, especially with the Day of the Doctor, which is all part of his... in the Time of the Doctor, all part of his last few episodes. So I still stick to the third series of the Doctors being the best, not necessarily for Chris Eccleston, because he only had one, but that was a really good series anyway.
Oh, that was terrific.
We'll say the last series. The last series. Oh, I loved it. Right then, so I sent you something over from Alan T. Butcher.
Yes, yeah, I'm a bit incredulous about the last one of the last words on this, so I have been trying to work it over in my head, whether it comes out right when I actually...
That's what she said.
When I say it, I think I will probably get 20 brownie points, but I think I'm going to play
this. No, you won't.
Okay, Doomwatch, The Plastic Eaters, or David Attenborough guest edits? Dear 20 megabyters, Praxeus is of course a closely studied rendering of the proposition often attributed to renowned faker Leonardo da Vinci, everything connects to everything else. The global reach of the saturation of microplastics provides a great medium in which to explore this concept. Introducing the alien bacteria which exploit this ubiquitous saturation casts a powerful searchlight upon this concept. Emphasized here are the dangerous aspects of such connectedness of a pathogen spread for which the only answer is widespread inocular amatory and purgative scheme. This is obviously analogous to hypothetical coronavirus outbreak, which might manifest any time, but also applies to malignant code within the cybersphere. However, it could also be applicable to a positive force as such as a commensal bacterium, which might have a cooperative relationship within an environment or a partnered organism. Again, it further analogizes to positive conceptual practical ideas such as cooperative or socialist exploitation of connectedness for good purposes. See also J.B. Priestley's and Inspector Calls for a definitive exploration of a similar proposition. It should be noted that while some suggest that all this environmental stuff is getting a bit much, in fact, if anything, it is obviously not enough. We also learn that it's entirely natural to camp in a rubbish dump. Easy to touch a festering bird that just fell out of the sky. All in all, Praxeus is a breather after the breathtaking in the previous episode.
Too much of a breather.
However, the pace is fairly breathless and entertaining. The bird animatronics seem like a bit of a step forward from the cat in survival after just that. There is a bit of a masterclass in making significant use of the entire cast and width of the canvas on which the action occurs has come a long way from when you were lucky to get more than two or three rooms, let alone several continents. A competent and reasonably engaging guest cast keep your interest, and Suki being the main protagonist, if not villain, proves my long-departed cat of the same name was well-designated. Oh, I love that. It is intriguing to know whether the environmental theme will figure within the broader arc of this series or whether it is simply drawing from the zeitgeist. Either way, it seems entirely appropriate to Doctor Who, just as it always has been from Serial A and Unearthly Child and its highly political caveman narrative. This episode is perhaps about 10 minutes too short, as these David Attenborough documentaries sometimes have a really interesting 10-minute making-of feature. I wondered if it was going to go that way. Next up, Doctor Who and the Hearing Test of Fear, or what might an otorhinolaryngologist say?
Whoa!
My thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Wow, you had some mental practice with that one, didn't you?
There you go.
Otorhinolaryngologists.
That's what Google says it is. Shall we hear that again? Here we go.
Yeah.
Shh. Otorhinolaryngologists.
Oh, nearly.
You didn't do too badly on that.
There you go. Yes, Debbie, if you highlight a word in Google and select speech, it says the word. Is there any other words you want some help with?
I didn't interrupt what I was doing, having interrupted loads of times already today, for which I apologise.
Not good enough. Was there any other words during that particular bit of text?
Probably
that you'd like
loads,
some help
but
with?
Well,
loads.
Analogous or analogous or
was it Zeitgeist? That was another one, wasn't it? Zeitgeist
is right.
Oh, Zeitgeist. Okay, Zeitgeist. Here we go. This is what Google says.
Zeitgeist.
I didn't select the whole word. I didn't select the whole word. Let's try that again.
What?
All right, here we go.
Zeitgeist.
Well done, Debbie.
There you go.
Zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist. I'm going to use that from now.
Indeed. Right then, we have some more feedback, and which requires me to play this.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
I woke up about 7. I had a meal and did some other things. Then I thought, it's too late to record a review.
No, it isn't.
8:10, I looked at the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook page, which you can join if you're not a spammer, and there was no live podcast. At 10:00, I noticed it was still full daylight. That's what? When I realised it was 10 in the morning, not 10 at night.
God.
Praxeus by McTee and Chibnall. How do you spell subtle?
SUBTLE.
Don't tell me. Tell Chris Chibnall. Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds meets Terror of the Autons.
Yeah, it's a good one.
This is not a story with a bit of a message. It is a message with a bit of a story. Since
yes.
Last week I've turned into a grumpy old man.
Yeah.
When people talk about diversity, they don't usually think about the Chinese or about a quarter of the world population. That astronaut would be the first to return alone in about 55 years. They come back in threes now, and they wear orange pressure suits, not white spacewalk suits.
Doctor Who is a science fiction television program.
Yes, it is.
Would NASA really have an openly gay astronaut?
Doctor Who is a science fiction television program.
The headline in the current National Enquirer says, China virus will kill 65 million. The BBC is keen to point out that this story was written before we knew about the Wuhan virus. Previously, on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, I made a joke about the bleating edge of TV criticism. Now I find I am close to the edge myself. The Doctor went all green to Thunberg again.
Yeah.
I am not going to rage quit the show. I have an old motorcycle helmet I can wear the next time Chibnall tries to beat me over the head with an idea. I expect Russell T. Davis liked it, though.
Yeah.
Alexa, who are you going to call?
Sorry,
bye for now.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for that, Ian. You knew that was going to happen, didn't he?
That was a good.
Yeah, very, very. One of his best that goes up there. Thank you very much, Ian. And spot on. Right, I think that's a bit amazing, it for feedback. There's quite a few people that were conspicuous by their absence in regards to the feedback side of things, including Mr. Reese Parton, who has obviously said his thoughts on his own little
vlog. Hang on, sorry. Going back through messages on our bit. Hang on.
Well, if I can go on about the feed.
Robert.
He does his own thing now on YouTube.
Yeah, Reese does, yes. Well, he's not allowed to. He has to come
Robert,
on, yeah.
Robert said he won't be able to make the podcast. He enjoyed last week's episode, though it's still not perfect. I'm getting sick of being preached to.
Yeah.
It's like the production team tick off a bunch of topics of the month and build the story around that. How about entertaining instead of preaching so bloody much? Oh, and a gay friend asked, when are they going to meet a heterosexual couple?
Yes,
I think exactly. Feedback. New
brilliant.
Yes, yes. Here, here.
Yeah. Is that it? Oh. Anything else that I might have missed?
I think definitely outperformed Google there, Alan.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alan.
Right then, let's see what we can find on this bit here. Doctor Who news. There's no real news as yet for FantasyCon. Any updates in regards to the guests, apart from when, as I mentioned before, the Isle of Wight Radio and Isle of Wight County Press randomly decided to place an article about the convention and just because...
Being a cartoon something or other, wasn't it?
Just because Cherie Hewson and... who plays Madge? Sheila Reid were the sort of at the event, not even the headliners. They're just at the event because they were in Benidorm, and somebody at the County Press and Isle of Wight Radio likes Benidorm, obviously. So, but it got... free publicity in a couple of very important local media facilities, shall we say. So, yes. But I'm still working very hard to... There's only a few more spaces left for celebrity guests, so I'm trying to just, you know, get the right ones to be there. And there's plenty of time. And I was still booking guests right up to 3 weeks before the event last year, and it's quite a long way to go. But the ones we do have are fab. So... still in negotiations with the garrison, so I'm hoping that we'll have the garrison there again. We've got obviously fending spaces available for people. I've posted on international Comic-Con sites for people to come along and put exhibits and entertainment at the event. So it's going to be fab. It's going to be better than last year for certain. It's just at this stage we're embryonic. So we've got the base as a great event. And the thing is, I want to try and get a lot of it in place before the wedding season comes in, so I'm not being distracted for wedding work by FantasyCon stuff. What else have we got going on? Wales Comic Con have announced a couple of quite exciting guests. I don't know if you lot saw anything, did you?
Nope.
No, did you not?
Nope.
Well, Walter Koenig.
Been happily sharing a couple of conventions that are coming up, going, please, on them.
And I'm like, before we move on,
Doctor
Who News.
You can pay for a ticket and I'll come along.
Walter Koenig. Excuse me, hello.
Hello. Oh, and we've got on the 29th, we've got Disco, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm not talking about that at the moment because I don't think anybody listening to the show can go to it. So anyway, Walter Koenig is going to be at Wales Comic Con. You don't know who he is, do you, Debbie?
Walter Koenig?
Yeah.
Chekhov?
Oh, you do know. He made a funny
Gordon
noise.
Gordon Bennett. I'm not just a
No, he's not Gordon Bennett. He's Chekhov. He's the original Chekhov.
What
did you say
know.
To me? Did you tell me to something off? Oh, Chekhov.
No, I said it's Chekhov. I love the fact that he was on the set of, what was it?
Of Picard?
No, not Picard.
Discovery?
No, the one before that.
Was there one before
Enterprise.
Discovery?
He was on the set of Enterprise, and he had to show them how to open the communicators.
Ah, right. Moving on. Who else we got coming? Miriam Margulies, who is very well known as Professor Sprout and as various characters from the Blackadder series, and currently in Call the Midwife as Mother Superior. So that's quite exciting. And I have a funny feeling we're going to get a lot of exciting announcements coming up soon. And I'm hoping that we can get at least one Stranger Things one. I know Sylvester McCoy is coming along, but I mentioned that last time. So, yeah, as we sort of glide slowly towards the end of April when we're going up there, it's becoming more and more exciting. And I, as I said last week, I'm really looking forward to my big group photograph with the Torchwood crew. So that'd be quite fun. Right, so on to Doctor Who news. It says, celebrating Chris Achilleos, your memories. An update from Candy Jar Books on their forthcoming book about Doctor Who artist Chris Achilleos. I think he's almost like a comic artist, isn't he, I suppose? Doctor Who, the Faceless Ones animation has been bought out on Blu-ray and DVD. I haven't got it yet. But obviously we've seen the Faceless Ones with the sort of reconstruction and remaining episodes that are still in the archive. So, again, I've got to buy these. I'm behind on these animated stories. I really must get around to getting them. Birthday's coming up soon. Maybe I'll buy them for myself. That might be an option, mightn't it? They've re-released Series 12 on Blu-ray. You lot gone very quiet. Are you still listening?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very unusual to be quiet and actually let me speak. almost like I was doing it on my own for a minute. Doctor Who magazine has got alternative covers. We've got the Doctor or the Master. We've got the Fugitive of Jadudjadun official rating. That's a bit better, 5.57 million.
Better.
What did you say?
Better.
Yeah, and it says ratings, the episode 8th most watched programme on BBC television for the week. And 23rd across all TV, which is pretty good, really, to be fair. Mm-hmm. And it did beat Dancing on Ice. Woohoo! Ah. Mainly because, obviously, when the time Doctor Who's out and Dancing on Ice was above it, people mainly watch that programme as it goes out, whereas people watch Doctor Who on delay and on streaming and stuff like that, which I personally think, and I know Toby Haydock would probably kill me for saying this, is the future for the BBC. I think that they are going to have to become a subscription service. And that includes radio, so they'll have to go completely digital and you pay for your subscription. I'd pay for it. I love the BBC. I'm willing to pay a suitable amount of money to have the BBC as a service to watch and enjoy and listen to, for that matter. And so there. Hero Collector launches Doctor Who baking sets. Ooh, they're really good. Yeah, they're almost like cake cutout things, aren't they? Or you, almost like, is it like those pancakes where you put the coloured batter in the grooves, and then you sort of fry them. Or,
it looks a bit like that.
It looks like cookie cutters.
Every time we've got cookie cutters for Isla that's purported to be like Disney characters, they just end up as a splat.
But you need different coloured pastry or whatever to actually create the pictures properly, as far as I can make out from these pictures. But they look really, really cool. I'd never have time to do it. And that's about it. Well, Praxeus overnight viewing figures. Oh, dear. Watched by 3.97 million viewers. That's really bad. It does say representing 20.2% of the total viewing audience, which is quite high, really, to be fair. And it was the fourth most popular show on British television on the day. So, yeah, that's pretty good. But it was beaten by Dancing on Ice, which... Is it still going to be beaten by Dancing on Ice when, when we come to the final figures? It'll be interesting to see, won't it? Obviously, Call Midwife was top, with only 6.15 million viewers. If you think, that Gavin and Stacey got, what was it, 16, 17 million?
Oh, did they? Million. Wow.
That's it. And then we come back down to the passing of Nicholas Parsons. That concludes Doctor Who news for the week. I've got some 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast news, and I said, as I've been hinting on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, you won't get this one, is returning soon. I think once we get the new series out of the way, and I've purchased, anybody who's watching the live feed can see this beautiful
I've seen that you've done this,
yeah. It is the new set of up-to-date Trivial Pursuit cards, which includes questions on the 13th Doctor from Series 1. At least it's really bang up to date. We're bound to get questions that are wrong, because we play Stranger Things and Stroke 80s Trivial Pursuit, which is a really good game, because Isabella can just answer the questions on Stranger Things and me and Deb can answer the questions on the 80s, so it makes it quite fair. But she keeps on piping up, oh no, they got that question wrong, in regards to Stranger Things and stuff. But this is cool, isn't it? So the idea, I think what we're going to do, to make it fair on you guys, I'm going to get these cards out of this box, shuffle them up with the other ones, which are down here by my feet, and then...
have an ultra yes, trivial
we'll create. I am creating in my mind a new revamped version of You Won't Get This One that doesn't involve...
making any, notes and ruining the
any
episode.
Notes, and also yes, doesn't yes. involve any trying to see guess who's going to win bets or anything like that. But there will be jokers.
Key boss at the end for whoever wins.
There will be jokers, and there will be a means to deduct points from other players somehow. That quite worked out, yeah. But I'll tell you that the Stranger Things. Version of Trivial Pursuit is really good, because when you land on certain squares, it turns the whole game to the upside down. So in the upside down, if you get a question wrong, you lose a point, but you don't in the normal thing. So when you flip over, you don't want to get a question wrong. So you don't, when you get a question right, you don't want to stay in command. You just hand the dice to the next player, because you don't want to get in that situation of losing a point. But when you're in the normal world, you can ask another player. So you're not quite sure what the answer is, but there's another player in the game that might know the answer. You can then ask that player what the answer is. If they get it right, you both get a point. Cool, eh?
Very cool.
Well, I think
just
quite good.
Make us pick who's the winner and who's going to be the loser. Because with only three of us, we don't have much choice.
Not going to be doing that anymore.
It's getting a bit annoying. It's like, sorry.
I beg your pardon. Did you say
it's fine? It's lovely. It's great.
Right then, stuff coming through on the feed. It's quite interesting to see that Matthew Kressel joined. Shame he can't join with his gob. Alan T. Butcher says, can we have more details about Debbie's cat farts? No.
No, they're disgusting. She obviously caught a mouse at some point.
And then he says, I think Debbie definitely outperformed Google there. Well, did you say that one earlier? You nicked that one from my... This is my job reading these women...
Oh, I just saw it when I was sharing a picture of said cat to the Facebook page.
Well, thank you for that. Alan T. Butcher then goes on to say, they are not interrupting Adam. Prove that Kirby is the ringleader. What interrupting?
You got all worried because we weren't making any noise when we were politely listening to you.
Yes. Right then. So next week, I'm in a terrible and embarrassing situation of not knowing the title of the next, because when Doctor Who started, I was in the kitchen making a cup of tea, and I didn't see the title of the story go up.
I don't know, but it looks good.
That's not the title. It's what it's called. It's called It Looks Good. This week's Doctor Who, It Looks Good by Chris Chibnall. Anybody?
I don't know what it's called. I apologise. But it's about Frankenstein. God. So it'd be something
right,
monster.
Okay, I'll have to find out for myself then. Can you hear me?
Why don't you ask Alexa?
I just answered the question. I said, can you hear me? That's what it was called. I think Mary's phone's ringing.
It's my phone.
Yeah. I wasn't saying, can you hear... The store name of the episode was called Can You Hear Me?
Pardon?
Another... Oh, for goodness.
Sorry.
It's like having Kirby on the Bimmin Show.
I didn't want him to feel left out.
Yes, that's the next week. Now, our next review will be Can You Hear Me?
Yeah, it is.
By The Haunting of Villa Diodati.
The Haunting of Villa Diodati.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody can say that in the appropriate accent. But this,
and then
next
the last
Sunday,
two, which will be the, you know, the bringing in of the Jadoon stuff and the Cybermen and.
Yes.
And.
I think we'll. I got a funny feeling in a couple of years' time when we get to actually. Redo these stories as part of the journey, I won't hate it as much.
Probably not, actually.
I won't hate the... Well, not sorry, I hate's a bit strong. I won't hate the political messages as much. But, I mean, like some people say, Green Death had a very, very bash-over-the-head message for about pollution in it, so maybe I'm being a bit harsh on it. It's just every week in, week out, it happening's a bit annoying.
Yeah,
and it seems to be week in, week out, apart from the future.
Posted a really cool picture of himself with the original Suki from Praxis, and that is such a cute cat. It's gorgeous. And I believe that's a young Alan as well, and that's very cute.
Are you trying to say Alan's old?
No.
All right, I will talk very briefly about what. This is what Roy is trying to organise for the 29th of February, and that's the cosplay party. I haven't personally got time to... I thought I would have, but I didn't realise that I was still going to be quite heavily involved in the organisation of FantasyCon, and I can't do both. So it took me ages to actually set up a ticket page because the tickets weren't selling at Heroes, because it's just one location. I didn't think of this. Just one location for the tickets. It's going to be difficult for people to get them, so I've made them available online, so if you want to buy a ticket for that. I've got plenty of people say they want to go to it and keep on saying, oh, where do you want to go to that? And if you do go, and it does happen, there will be a gold ticket to FantasyCon. And the gold tickets are fab, because it's a VIP ticket, plus a few other bits and bobs I haven't quite decided yet. It's a gold ticket, very special gold ticket. That's a one-off. But that's only if the event, you know, people go to it and want to go to it, and we make the money for Wessex Council, etc., etc. Otherwise, the golden ticket will be going into an online raffle. But we'll see what happens with that. But there will be a golden ticket for FantasyCon, which is something I certainly like to have if I wasn't running the event, and essentially having a platinum ticket, which isn't really worth having because I don't get to enjoy it. Debbie,
mm-hmm.
Don't, when you run an event, you don't necessarily enjoy it very much. Just saying.
No, unfortunately, I was witness to that. So yeah.
But
hopefully this time.
I did enjoy the aspect of travelling on the ferry with Colin Baker and Chris Ryan, and that was quite good fun. I'm sure Tom
but
enjoyed
the stress
aspect
you guys were under was. Major, and sure. I want to be there as much as I can for set up this time. That's why I've managed to get
Nick's
a day
been
off.
Hired as Deb's
like that, because poor Deb, when I got there, it's like, my
she
God.
She just blamed me. My blooming fault. But I'm sure Tom enjoyed the aspect of seeing Colin Baker back to his car in Southampton.
He had a great time. He enjoyed that. We were all absolutely shattered afterwards.
Not surprised.
Was terrific, though, and then getting to play around at the end with K9 and things was just brilliant.
Right, so, and there won't be a tent to put down this time.
That took ages.
It'd be nice, but do it in a situation, and it probably won't be likely because we're finishing late to actually have a sort of after show get together, but I think that's very unlikely because what happened last time, we didn't actually get finished and packed up until 10:30, and then I went to get a McDonald's because we hadn't eaten all day.
And then we've got everybody's obviously going to go band and go and do trick or treating or Halloween stuff.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Halloween. Oh, also there's another event at Norfolk House that we want people to go to straight after the event. We won't be going because we'll be packing away, but the
What's
punters
that?
Can go to. But yeah, that'd be good.
Is there like a Halloween shindig or something?
Yeah, it's a Halloween party.
Tom and Isla can skin off and go and do do trick or treating like she wants, but I've made them promise to come back and help.
But anyway, sorry, but that might be a bit boring for listeners, but I'm just saying. So, like I say, hopefully we'll have Kirby back next week and be able to hear him and, well, not hear him too much, obviously. Be interesting to see what he thinks of the episode we've just watched. So until then, thank you for listening, watching and taking part in the show. Please keep the feedback coming in to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. And I hope you're liking Doctor Who better than we are. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.